Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Are you looking for an ASD life coach who's coming from the mental health side of things? Someone who is just late diagnosed, who's very caring and understanding? Well, my next guest is just that. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and I'll see you on the other side. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Robin Love. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's first start off with, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Wow. Okay. So I'm 53 years old and I'm married and I have a 13-year-old son. I live in Colorado and for work, I'm a mental health counselor and a coach specializing in neurodiversity. I did not get my diagnosis until last year. Yeah.
So, what made you want to become an ASD life coach?
Well, it kind of came out of me becoming a counselor. I decided to go back to school in 2020. Actually, in 2019, I think I decided to do it. And I started in 2020, like right after the COVID like became like a big deal here, right? Started in April of 2020, in an online program, and I did it part-time. So it took me 4.5 years to do it. And when I first started, I thought I wanted to be a couples counselor. And then as I was going through the program, I could only imagine myself like working with one person, right, at a time. So I switched to, okay, I'm just gonna counsel individuals. And then when I got my diagnosis, I was like, okay, I definitely want to talk to my people. So that's kind of how it came about. Yeah.
So when you got your diagnosis, was it like you saw the whole world change before your eyes, like everything started making sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I actually listen. So I have a son who's autistic. I used to be a school teacher a long, long time ago. I had students that were males that were autistic. And so I was really familiar with the male presentation of autism already. And my son's father is very obviously autistic. And so we're like, oh, he got it from his father, right? And then I listened to a book by a woman with autism because I thought, oh, this will help me in my counseling practice. And every single thing she was saying was me. And I was like, oh, maybe I am autistic too. Right. And so then I had to go through the process of like finding testing and making sure I could afford it and all the things. And of course, with my, we have imposter syndrome. So I was like, do I really have autism or am I just making this up? And so yes, I got tested and I was diagnosed with level one.
Now, how did you hear about ASD life coaching?
Well, so during my counseling journey, someone told me about life coaching, like to as another like revenue stream basically. And so I started my coaching business at the same time that I started doing counseling and just in reaching out to different, and it was always going to be autistics, right? And then I reached out to a local person who I knew did coaching for autistics just to tell her that, oh, by the way, I'm a counselor. If you ever have anyone that needs counseling, and so she and I had a conversation and I told her I was doing coaching too. And then she had a relationship with Jacqueline at ASD Life Coaches. And so she put us on the phone together, and the rest is history.
Right. So, what is your favorite thing about being an ASD life coach?
I love validating people's experience. A lot of times when people have just received their diagnosis and they're in the learning phase, they don't realize that every single thing they experience is a feature of autism, right? And so a lot of the areas they struggle in, they still don't even realize that autism explains all those struggles. And
All right.
so I like to, validate what they go through and be like, yeah, absolutely.
Now, what have been some of the obstacles you've seen your clients face?
So a big one is employment. We know everything we have to do in the neurotypical world takes a lot more energy, right, for us. And even the expectation of working 40 hours a week somewhere is a lot, right? And so a lot of times when I first start seeing somebody and they haven't made any adjustments in their life, right, for their autism, or they haven't even had a job yet, right? That's one of the early things we work on is well, what would you like to do? And then a lot of times people don't know. We're so used to masking and trying to please other people and meet other people's expectations that a lot of times people don't even know their own preferences. So we start there, what sounds like something you'd like to do as a vocation? What can you do as a vocation? As far as do you need to work from home? Do we need to work less hours a week? And so we spend a lot of time working on that.
All right. What are some of the rewards of being an ASD life coach?
I love just, the self-actualization process of it, finding out who they really are without societal expectations. And learning to protect their energy for the stuff they really value. And, for them, I think it feels like a long, slow process, right? But for me, I see people just growing leaps and bounds, and it's amazing to experience other people's successes.
All right. Now let's dive a little bit more into learning a little bit more about you and yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas City.
All right. What motivates you, inspires you, and drives you?
I would say some my special interest has always been psychology and sociology and stuff like that. Love and relationships have always been really important to me. And so that's what drives me really is, I care about other people and I want to help other people basically have the best life they can have.
All right. What's the best compliment you've ever gotten?
Oh, I told so I have a friend that lived in my neighborhood when I was growing up, and we've stayed friends. And I told him that I got diagnosed with autism, and he goes, "Oh," he goes, "that makes sense." And it was like it made me feel so good because a lot of times our when we've been masking, as an adult, and we tell someone. We have the diagnosis, and they say, "Oh, you don't seem like you're autistic." It's kind of deflating. And then now we have to have the conversation about all the things. And so for him to just be like, "Oh, yeah, I could see that," it was like, wow, that just made me feel so good.
All right. What's your biggest failure, and what did you learn from that experience?
So my biggest failure is that I think that I married the wrong person. I ended up like settling for somebody that I liked, and then we were dating and everything, but he didn't meet my all of my needs basically. And so I settled, and then we really just didn't have like a strong enough foundation to maintain a marriage. So, our marriage ended, and I feel like, settling for not the exact right fit wasn't really a good idea.
All right. Tell me about three influential people in your life and how they impacted you.
So when I was growing up, my grandmother, who I called Nana, she was really important to me. Like when I look back over like who in my family was autistic, right? Absolutely, she was autistic. She was very quiet, and I would go stay with her like in the summer for months, for weeks at a time. And it was like, I don't know, we were just so similar. It was so easy to just be in her house versus like my house at home or whatever. And so she's always been an influence on me. And then my husband and my son are probably the other two biggest influences. Like I didn't know if I wanted to have children. And so I waited until I was 10 days before my 40th birthday to have a child, and it's like the best thing that ever happened to me. He healed a lot of like the attachment wounds I had from when I was a child. That's been amazing. And then my husband, the only person I've met in my entire life who actually gets me, like everything. Like even if I get mad at him, and like one of those times when you get mad at somebody and you're like, I can't be crazy right now. Like I just expected him to read my mind or whatever, right? And then I say, why are you mad at me? He literally knows. Like he'll say it back to me, and he every time he's right. Like he just totally gets me, which is very validating to have, that relationship in my life.
All right. What makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
So I think teaching people things that help them understand themselves better is when I'm at my best self. Like in counseling, we're not supposed to give advice, but we do end up doing a lot of psychoeducation, and obviously in coaching, right, with autistics, I'm doing a lot of psychoeducation as well. Like I said, helping them identify that a lot of their struggles are, right, because of their autism. And that's when I'm at my best, is like I feel like before industrialized society, I would have been like the wise woman in a hut, right? That people came to when they had a question or needed advice.
All right. Finish this sentence. I'm at my best when.
I'm at my best when I'm connecting with another person.
All right. If you could turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell her about where you are now in life?
Well, I would tell her she's autistic, number one, right? Because that explains everything. And it would have saved me a lot of decades of struggling to understand why I had all the struggles I had. And I would tell her not to settle.
All right. If you can have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
So I've read a book that had a big impact on me called Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And the whole book is about, she uses this analogy of a cheetah at the zoo. And the book is about how we end up getting caged by societal expectations, of women or of ourselves. Like, we're neurodiverse and we had neurotypical cages that people put us into. And so, one of the things that she says, that she tells the story about a cheetah at the zoo, and she was wondering what the cheetah was thinking, and she thought the cheetah might be thinking, oh, I should be happy enough with my life. Like, I have enough food and I have a best friend, and so I have a good life, and I'm crazy to want more, And then the author is like, no, Tabitha, you're not crazy. You're a goddamn cheetah. That's what I put on a sign. You're a goddamn cheetah.
All right. What do you think the world will look like in 5 years?
I think it's going to be very similar, just with more technology. But from a mental health perspective and kind of the direction things seem to be going, I think there's going to be some research and some changes around some diagnoses in neurodiversity. Like, the line between ADHD and autism is getting very thin. And so I feel like we're approaching kind of like a paradigm shift around some things with neurodiversity, which is kind of exciting to me. And I also think, we've had recent changes with healthcare, like, now under Biden, all medical insurance must cover mental health care. And then, now Medicare has to cover counselors, and it didn't before. And so, I'm hoping that the way that's going is that medical insurance is going to have to cover autism testing. That's what I'm hoping, and I don't think that's very far off.
All right. What was your favorite subject in school?
Well, when I was like high school and stuff, and all the way up to then, it would have been English because I like to read. And then once I was at the college level, it was like psychology and sociology classes.
Right. Would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm an introvert. I'm an INFJ.
All right. If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be and why?
I want to be remembered as an awesome mom, actually. My parents were not a good fit for me, just personality-wise, let alone, that I was neurodiverse. And so, like, I very intentionally wanted to change that pattern, and I feel like I have, and I'm really proud of that.
All right. Now we get to the point where everyone loves to hear the ending questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite word?
My favorite word is love.
What is your least favorite word?
I think there's a lot of words I don't like. I think I would have to say kill.
Okay. What turned you on creatively, spiritually, and emotionally?
The idea of self-actualization, like becoming who we really are.
All right. What turned you off?
Injustice.
All right. What's your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What sound or noise do you love?
I love the sound of a window air conditioner because where I slept at my Nana's house, she had a window air conditioner in the same room with me. And I just still to this day, like, I assist, like, that sound calms my nervous system.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I think, like people's mouth sounds that aren't like regular. So like coughing that's random and loud, you know, or like throat clearing, because that's kind of random, kind of like random loud noises that people make with their mouths.
All right. What is your favorite color?
Blue.
What is your least favorite color?
There's this like certain tone of off-white that's kind of like yellowish. I don't like that color.
All right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
So I'm actually like I'm old enough and I'm wise enough that I've gotten myself into like my perfect spot professionally. If I had talent, though, I think I would have liked be a singer or a dancer or something like that.
What profession would you not like to do?
Anything that's very repetitive, like accounting or coding or typing.
Okay. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Welcome home, daughter.
When you arrive at heaven, who would you like to meet?
Jesus.
All right. What books do you recommend my audience read?
So I actually have a few. For anyone with like a new diagnosis as an adult, and this is for anyone with ADHD or autism diagnosis, but the book is geared toward an ADHD audience, but the arc of what she talks about is the same. It's called Journeys Through Adulthood, and adulthood has two D's in it. Like it looks like ADD, adulthood. That's by Sari Solden, Solden. And then a book I recommend for parents that have a neurodiverse child is called Low Demand Parenting by Amanda Diekman, Diekman. And it talks about how, you know, every single thing an autistic person's day is a demand, right? And neurotypical people don't understand that. That's a demand. And so that book is really great at helping parents sort of rethink, like, what's the why behind that demand? She basically has you ask, like, well, why does your kid need to put on socks? Oh, well, why is that important? What, just to get all the way down to, is this actually vital that they do the thing, right? And then a book that I like for women is called Women and Girls with Autism Spectrum Disorder by Sarah Hendricks, Hendrikx. And I really like that book because, you know, with our tendency to doubt ourselves about everything, the imposter syndrome piece, it helps like women with a later diagnosis see that yes, I did have autism as a little girl. Talks about what autism looks like in little girls, what it looks like in teen girls, what it looks like kind of at each life stage, which I think can be really empowering. And then anyone who's trying to unmask and become their authentic selves, I absolutely recommend Untamed by Glennon Doyle, Doyle. And Unfortunately, it's written like toward women, and so that might be hard for some men like to read and go, oh, well, I'm not a woman, but it's if you can overlook that she's talking to women and just assume she's talking to you too, it absolutely is like every autistic's experience. So it's really empowering.
And finally, where can people find out more about you on the web?
So my own practice is called the Autistic Mentor. And so I'm at www.theautisticmentor.com.
All right, and that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's Robin Love. I'm Reed Miles, and I'll see you in the next one. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Just one.